This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Biblical archaeology is not without its controversies, and one of the biggest controversies over the past 20 years involves the James Ossuary, a box carved out of stone in which bones of the deceased were placed. This particular ossuary is authentically 2,000 years old, but its inscription might be a modern forgery. That's what Israeli officials contended when they took the owner to court in a trial that lasted for 7 years. And the trial proved nothing. The James Ossuary is still controversial, but on today's program, we're going to examine the evidence. Our guest is Brian Wendell, who is a pastor and also involved in archaeology. He works with Associates for Biblical Research, and he has a website, BibleArchaeologyReport.com. So, Brian, the James Ossuary hasn't been featured on this program quite as much as the Dead Sea Scrolls, but it's been on a lot, over a dozen times since our first interview with Herschel Shanks of Biblical Archaeology Review in 2002, when the news first broke about this amazing ossuary. And the controversy involves the inscription on the ossuary. So what does the inscription say?
Well, the inscription on the ossuary says, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. That, of course, is why it is so sensational and so controversial. One archaeologist said if those words were rearranged, if it had said, for example, Jesus, son of Joseph, brother of James, it wouldn't have been controversial. Nobody would question it. But because it says James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, the question then becomes, is this the James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus we read about in the New Testament?
Right. And that's why it's got all this attention and generated a lot of controversy. The Israel Antiquities Authority immediately jumped on this. They formed a research group that looked at it and came up with a conclusion that it was possibly fraudulent. So you, with your recent investigation of this, put together all the research and took a look at it once again. We talked about this just recently when we had Scott Stripling on the program on our 40-year anniversary celebration. And one of the questions was, is the James Ossuary authentic? So people are still interested in this and wondering about it. And I don't think we've got any closure, but as I was reading your summary of the controversy, you seem to give it some authenticity that maybe it didn't have with people that have remembered reading all the reports and everything, and the fact that the trial was inconclusive. So why did you decide to take a look at it again?
Well, I decided to take a look at it because there were some scholars who I respect a lot who were suggesting that it may indeed be authentic, and especially since the trial resulted in an acquittal on the charge of forgery. And if you read some of the transcripts from the trial, you see that the kind of the star witnesses for the Israel Antiquities Authority just crumbled under cross-examination when it comes to whether it was forged or not. And so people like Craig Evans, for example, Dr. Craig Evans, believes that it's authentic. And so I wanted to take another look at the evidence both for and against and see if I could make sense for myself whether this, first of all, was authentic, and second of all, and perhaps the bigger question, whether it applies to James, the son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, that we read about in the New Testament.
What were the arguments that crumbled under the cross-examination?
Well, there were a couple of things that happened in the cross-examination. First of all, Professor Yuval Goren, who is a clay specialist from Tel Aviv University, was questioned, and he was suggesting that that the patina was faked. But under cross-examination, it was suggested that another scholar had noticed authentic patina, particularly in the word Jesus. And so he asked to take a recess to examine the ossuary. When he returned the next day, he admitted that, yes, original patina was present in that part of the inscription. And it is the brother of Jesus part that is often suggested to be the forged part. Some people are willing to take the part that says James, son of Joseph, is authentic, but not the brother of Jesus, that it was added, although one scholar actually says it's the other way around. So that, of course, crumbled. The other was archaeologist Joe Zeiss had said that he had seen the James ossuary in an antiquity shop without the phrase brother of Jesus on. But under oath at the trial, he admitted that he'd only briefly seen the inscription and that he didn't actually have the expertise to read the ancient letters. And then later, when the owner of the shop was asked, he said he never had that ossuary with the inscription in his store. And Zeiss now claims he was joking at the time. So those two pieces of testimony seem to crumble at the trial.
So the crucial issue did seem to be the patina. Some of our listeners might wonder, what is a patina?
Sure. So patina is a growth that grows up over time. When you have ancient artifacts and ancient inscription, you would expect to find this slow-growing patina on it. And if it's not there, then that would be something that might be an indication that it's not authentically as ancient as someone would claim it to be.
Just kind of an accumulation of minerals and other things from the air and moisture that collects over time and is a good indication of whether something that's old is genuine or not.
Exactly, yes.
Those who have just joined us, we're talking about the James ossuary, one of the great controversies of biblical archaeology over the last couple of decades. And that trial that lasted for 7 years was really inconclusive. The archaeology authorities didn't prove their case that it was fake. The ossuary now is back in the custody of the person who owned it and didn't realize for many years that it had this amazing inscription. His name is Oded Golan. One of the other issues was whether or not this had recently surfaced in the antiquities market and had just been bought by Golan, you know, whether it was fake or not. But apparently he had it in his collection for quite a long time.
That's correct. He claims that he purchased it on the antiquities market sometime in the 1970s. At his trial, he entered photographic evidence of a photograph that his ex-girlfriend had taken, at his parents' house or his apartment somewhere in the 1970s, that shows the ossuary on a bookshelf. When the photograph was analyzed forensically, they showed that you could clearly see that it was the James ossuary. It was on photographic paper that dated to the 1970s. There's actually a Tel Aviv phone book from the mid-1970s that's identifiable on the bookshelf above it, and the entire inscription is there. So all of this seems to indicate that he actually did own the ossuary, as he claims, from the mid-1970s and had no idea that the inscription carried any significance whatsoever.
Why did he not understand that this was a significant inscription?
First of all, he claims not to have known that Jesus even had a brother. The story apparently goes that when André Lemaire said to him, "Do you realize what this is? James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, Jesus of the Bible," he apparently said Jesus had a brother. He didn't even know. And the other thing is that in the Aramaic, it says Yaakov. Someone who is Israeli would not necessarily automatically associate with James in our English Bibles.
So he had this in his possession, and he actually has one of the largest collections of antiquities related to biblical archaeology of anybody in the world. He's an amazing collector. So this was just another item in his collection.
That's correct, yes. And because he couldn't read the inscription fully or recognize the importance of it, it just was another ossuary that he had. He had multiple ossuaries in his collection. In fact, when he met André Lemaire at a party, the story goes, he asked him to look at a different ossuary and the inscription on it, and then showed him a photo of the James ossuary. And when André Lemaire saw the photo of this other one, the James ossuary, he immediately recognized that it might be very important. And so while it was a different ossuary he was originally asked to look at, it was the James ossuary that really caught André Lemaire's attention. And André Lemaire is an esteemed epigrapher who was the person who first studied and wrote the first article about this particular artifact.
This ossuary is now back in his collection. It was returned to him after the trial. I don't know if it'll ever go on display just because of its controversial nature, but it actually did go on display at one time at Toronto early on when its existence was first acknowledged.
That's right. It went to the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto in the fall of 2002, I believe. What's really interesting is that when it was shipped to Toronto from Israel, it was damaged in shipping. It actually broke because of how it was packed into five pieces. But this ended up being a blessing in disguise because it actually gave experts the chance to study up close the inscription as they repaired the ossuary. And Edward Keel, who's the former senior curator from the Royal Ontario Museum, wrote, he said, "We were able to show that this two-hand theory, the theory that people were saying, well, part of it was written by a second hand at a later date." He says, "We were able to show that this theory is baseless. The theory maintains that the last two words of the ossuary, brother of Jesus, were added by a second hand to an existing inscription that read, James, son of Joseph. Our examination showed that part of the inscription had been recently cleaned a little too vigorously with a sharp tool. And for some reason, whoever did it cleaned the beginning of the inscription, but not the end. The cleaning had removed some of the surface incrustation from down inside the letters, but not all of it. And these letters, on which a sharp tool had been used, may even have been judged to be slightly enhanced. They look sharper, and the end of the inscription looks softer, but the soft is just due to the incrustation that survived." He said it's all the same inscription, was the conclusion of the experts at the Royal Ontario Museum.
It seems amazing, after two decades of controversy and a trial that lasted for 7 years, that the James ossuary seems to have faded away. But now, taking a look back at the evidence, Brian Windle is convinced of its authenticity. A number of top scholars in the field also seem convinced, as he has detailed on his blog, BibleArchaeologyReport.com. If it is indeed authentic, what are we to do with this artifact that seems to offer a physical, direct connection to the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth? It seems much like the Shroud of Turin, another artifact about which significant doubts have been raised, but also has convinced many experts who have examined it very closely that it can be none other than what it seems to be. Our thanks to Brian Windle for joining us. We'll continue this conversation on our next program. And we are linking to his blog on our website at radioscribe.com. Another good way to keep up with the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology is our quarterly Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts. The spring issue is just out. You can find out how to subscribe at radioscribe.com. And a final note, we also have information on our next Israel tour, where we will visit the archaeological sites featured on our program. Our tour is coming up in November 2024. Details at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.